Today we continue our series entitled, There's Hope. The first week we talked about there's hope for your family. Last week, there's hope for your marriage. Next week, Dave Ramsey is going to talk about there's hope for your finances, and I pray that you'll bring a friend with you. But today I'm going to talk about there's hope for your workplace. After you go to church, CCV on the weekend, and you get in the car and you're on your way home, do you ever ask yourself, how is what I just heard in that message going to help me in the workplace on Monday? If you find yourself asking that question, I believe you're not alone. Many Christians have a difficult time of living out their faith in the workplace. Religious sociologist Robert Worthwer found that 25% of Christians said their faith impacted their career. But sadly, 60% of Christians said they had no idea how their work related to their faith. And my prayer is today that if you're one of those 60%, I will help you understand how God expects your work and your faith to be completely integrated in every way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, each one should retain the place in life the Lord has assigned to him and do which God has called him. If you've got your outline, circle the word assigned and circle the word called. So I want to ask you, what is your assignment? Where is God calling you to make a difference? Because the truth is, all of us are called to serve. And we have to understand that serving in the church is not a higher calling than serving outside the church. I want to repeat that. Serving in the church is not a higher calling than serving outside the church. Whether you're a student or a janitor or a stay-at-home mom or a coach or a teacher or a doctor or a dentist or a banker or a chef or a construction worker or a salesperson or an executive or retired or a pastor, all of us have the same calling. All of us are on assignment from God. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament is the honor roll of faith. It's a list of some of the Bible's greatest heroes, and 16 people are mentioned by name. But you know what's interesting? Only one is what we would say worked in the church, Samuel, who was a prophet. Or if you read the book of Acts, which is a history of the first century church, you will find that 39 out of 40 miracles were performed outside the church. So what is the church? Well, that's that building we go to every weekend. No, the church is people. The word church literally means the called out ones. Last week on our five campuses, we had about 25,000 people. Over 50,000 people call CCV their church home. But I want you to know the impact of our church is not in our gathering power, how many we can get together on all of our services, all of our campuses on the weekend. The impact of this ministry is in our sending power. How do we go out to make a difference in the workplace? You see, you don't become a team until you play the game. The Cardinals could practice and practice and practice, and they could go into the huddle and go into the huddle, but they're never going to win the game or become a team until they what? Break the huddle and run the play. You don't become a business until you generate sales, until you do a service for others. So the problem is, as Christians today, too many of us want to compartmentalize our lives instead of integrate our lives. You say, what do you mean compartmentalize? Well, listen to how we talk. What are you doing in your public life and your private life? What are you doing in the spiritual part of your life and the secular part of your life? What are you doing in the worship part and the work part? That's compartmentalizing. Instead, we're supposed to integrate our lives. I'm the same person in private that I am in public. I'm the same person when I worship as when I work. You see, the word integrate comes from that root word, integrity, which means everything fits together. Listen carefully. Here's what happens today. Our culture is telling us that you Christians can go to church and you can believe whatever you want and you can go to church as often as you want. Just make sure you keep your faith to yourself the rest of the week. Don't bring it into the school system. Don't bring it into the government. Don't bring it into the workplace. Keep it to yourself in your churches. And I want to tell you that that unbiblical idea has robbed the church of its power and purpose. Because of that today, the church in America is losing its voice. It's losing its boldness. Church, CCV, you've been called by God to be salt and light. Salt makes things better and light makes things brighter. So why do we work? Well, work is not just a place where we go to get advancement and climb the org chart and be fulfilled, although I hope you do that. Work is not a place just where we work hard to make a lot of money to set aside so we can retire early. Your work is a high calling from God. You are on assignment from God. I'm on assignment from God. Repeat after me, I'm on assignment from God. One more time. I'm Now the rest of you, I'm on assignment from God. We all have been called by God to make a difference. So I want us to look today at some things that we must do if we're going to impact Jesus, make an impact for Jesus in the workplace. The first word in your outline there is the word submit. Now, I've already lost most of you, haven't I? Submit is not a word that we like to hear, yet submission is a key attitude for success in the workplace. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. Now hang with me. You say, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not a slave. The same principle of slaves and masters is the same principle for employees and employers. So just switch the words. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. You gotta be kidding me. For it's commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he's conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? In other words, if you mess up at work and get fired, don't say that you're persecuted for Jesus Christ. You just messed up. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Why is submission so difficult? Because submission doesn't come naturally. Because we are born with a self-centered spirit. So how in the world are we as Christians able to submit anyway? How can you submit to a boss that maybe you don't even like? Because if you're a Christ follower, you already realize your whole life is under submission. You've submitted yourself to Jesus Christ. We all have to submit to somebody. All of us are under somebody else's authority. Years ago, Reggie Jackson was playing for the Baltimore Orioles, and the story goes he was on first base waiting for a sign from the manager, Earl Weaver, to steal second. But Earl Weaver had a strict rule, nobody steals unless he gives them the sign. But Reggie knew he could steal off the pitcher, and so he waited for the sign. Didn't come. He waited for the sign. It didn't come. Finally, he took off and stole second. Made it. Got up, brushed himself off, smiled to the dugout like, Coach, I told you I could make it. What he didn't realize was now that first base was open, one of their best hitters was Lee May, and now that first base was open, they just walked Lee May and pitched to a less effective hitter and got him out, and they went on and lost the game. What's the point of the story? Reggie stole the base, but the Orioles lost the game. You see, Reggie had limited perspective. Earl Weaver, the manager, was the boss, and he was able to see the whole game plan. And that's why it's not our job to second-guess our bosses. It's our job to be submissive and cooperate. Oh, it's easy to be submissive to a boss who is fair and kind and considerate. But what about submitting to a boss as harsh and unfair? Second great word is suffer. You say, suffer? We got to remember the context of that passage in 1 Peter. Peter is writing to Christian slaves. And what Peter's saying is, you who are Christian slaves, you've been taken into captivity and you're in bondage and you're working for your master, you have no choice in who your boss is or who your what your job is. And he's saying, if Christian slaves could have a positive attitude in the midst of that kind of suffering, then how much more should we as Christ followers have a positive attitude in the workplace when we get to choose our boss and we get to choose our job? I know what you're thinking, but Pastor Don, you don't realize how bad of a boss I have. You're right. Pastor Don, you don't realize how hostile my work environment is to Christians. You're right. So what am I supposed to do? Just keep being salt and light. Why? Because you got to remember that you're on an assignment from God. One day a man went to a pet shop to buy a parrot. The assistant took him to look at a lot of the parrots, and he asked him to choose one. And the man said, how much is that yellow one? And the assistant said, it's worth about $2,000. He was shocked. Why in the world is that so expensive? He says, well, that parrot is very special because he has great computer skills. He said, how about that green parrot over there? He said, that's worth $5,000. $5,000? What's so great about him? Well, he not only has computer skills, but he also answers incoming phone calls. Well, what about that red parrot over there? That red parrot, he said, is worth $10,000. $10,000, what does he do? The assistant says, well, he doesn't do anything. He just sits around all day, but the other birds call him the boss. So how do you deal with a difficult boss? How do you deal and work in a hostile work environment? Here's what you do. The scripture said what? You remember what Jesus Christ has went through for you. Jesus was beaten, ridiculed, abused, and crucified. And so he says, I'm leaving you an example that you should follow me. Or if you think you're really in a hostile work environment and it's really unfair, then I would encourage you to go online and Google the persecuted church. And you read the stories of Christians all over the world today that are being killed, slaughtered, because they will take a stand for Jesus Christ. Or you remember that your current difficult situation where God has placed you is an opportunity for you to be Jesus in the workplace. You see how you respond to those in authority over you, and how you respond when you're mistreated and falsely accused sets up you for incredible opportunities, which is word three, which is shine. Ephesians chapter 6 says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart. Underline sincerity of heart. Just as you would obey Christ, obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, underline that, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he has done, whether he's slave or free. And now a word to you masters. Treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. What's it mean to shine in the workplace? Here it is. Don't miss this. This is the main point of what I'm trying to say today. If you want others to pay attention to your faith, you pay attention to your work. I want to repeat that. If you want other people to pay attention to your faith, then you pay attention to your work. You need to be competent in your work before you ever dream of trying to share your faith. Because my opinion is, you can bring in your big, thick Bible and lay it on the desk, and that's okay. You can pray in the cafeteria over your food, and that's all right as well. But if you are a lousy, incompetent employee, nobody cares about your faith. And so, if you want them to pay attention to what you believe, then you pay attention to how you work. How do you shine in the workplace? It says serve with sincerity of heart. That means singleness of heart. That means be focused. When you go to work, give a full day's work for a full day's pay. The scripture says here, don't work hard just when the boss is there. On the other hand, when the boss is not there, don't slack off. Don't spend your time on Facebook and video games. Or don't do enough just to get by. Do more than is required. Because you see, the difference between ordinary companies and extraordinary companies is a little extra. The difference between an ordinary church and an extraordinary church is a little extra. The difference between an ordinary family and an extraordinary family, a little extra. The difference between an ordinary marriage and an extraordinary marriage is extra. Suppose you heard about the guy who decided to do a little extra and impress his girlfriend, hoping she would marry him. So every day for 47 days, he sent flowers to her place of work. There was only one problem. On the 48th day, she married the flower delivery man. See, if you do a little extra, you will stick out. If you do more than's required, you will shine. You will get noticed by those above you. You will have an opportunity to talk about your faith. So serve with sincerity of heart. Be focused. But it also says here, serve wholeheartedly. What does that mean? I believe that means go to work with a positive and cheerful attitude. Don't be concerned about where you are on the org chart. Just do your job. Don't be concerned about the title that you have. When I came to Phoenix in 1975, I was working at a great church. I was a youth pastor at a church, First Christian Church, on 7th Avenue in Glendale. Great senior pastor. He had been in the military, so he kind of looked at everybody on staff by rank. And so there were three pastors, and I was the last one hired. And so when he would introduce me to people, he would not say, this is Don, our youth pastor. He'd say, this is my number three guy. Now, how do you think that would make you feel? Well, it didn't bother me. I did my job. I don't care what you call me. But one day, an elderly lady came into the office, and she'd never met me before, and she said, who's this? And he said, this is my number three guy. And she said, well, who's one and two? And before he could answer, I said, well, God and Jesus, of course. Now, hang on, you weren't there. I thought I was serving wholeheartedly, but that quick comment almost cost me my job. You see, serve wholeheartedly. Be thankful you have a job. Be thankful you get to go to work. Because remember, as a Christ follower, our true boss is not men. It's the Lord. So when you work, yes, work to please your boss who writes the check, but ultimately, you're doing your job because there's someone that's watching you all the time. Remember that your reward and your bonus might not come on this earth. It might come in heaven. You say, what do you mean? If you are doing your job with excellence and you're being a great example for Jesus Christ, you never know who's watching you, and it may be months or years down the road where somebody will say, you don't realize it, but several years ago I worked in the same office as you, and I watched how you conducted business and how you worked, and I want you to know it had a profound impact on me. So I want to say to you, give it all you've got. He also gives some advice to employers. And he says, for you employers, remember that you're under authority also, because all of us are a slave to Christ. Whether you're an employer or an employee, we all answer to a higher power. So therefore, he says, employers, treat everybody the same. Don't treat them different because of their age or their race or their education or their income. Don't threaten them. Don't use guilt to motivate. Just serve them. And think of ways that you can lead your company or your business with Christian values. I wanted you to watch this video of one of our charter members, Jim Younger, who is a workplace leader, and listen to what he says about this idea of giving hope in the workplace.
Well, it all started in 1975. I was just married. I was working construction during the day and going to college at night. I didn't have much. I had some ambition, but I didn't have much. I was struggling to make ends meet. I had to borrow $500 from my sister to buy tools. I was offered an opportunity by a home builder in town to become his framing contractor and build his homes. I quickly accepted that opportunity without a lot of knowledge about what I was going to be getting myself into. Well, the next 20 years were pretty up and down. In fact, two times I almost lost the business. But by 2005, the company had grown to almost over 2,000 people. We had 10 companies. We built over 4,500 homes that year, and we were ranked in Arizona's top 100 privately owned businesses. I'm Jim Younger, owner of Younger Brothers Companies. God is my CEO here. And he's in the fabric of this business. He's in everything. He's in our vision, our mission, our values, in the way we do our work, and how we conduct ourselves. But there's a lot of great leaders here at Younger Brothers, and we support each other. We hold each other accountable. That iron sharpens iron thing happens here. We had real success with home building up until that 1987 stock market crash. The economy changed, and it changed overnight. And we had a lot of debt. We were broke. I felt that I must work through it. It took me about 3 years over that period of time. We got everybody paid off and started the business over again, but God honored that.
When I see Jim modeling through the company and his leadership, it's through scripture. It's through how he carries himself, doing things right. With our suppliers, with our customers, with our employees, just the way that he treats people. He treats them with respect. He treats them with integrity.
One thing I noticed early on is it was all about doing the right thing and had a high level of integrity and good character. With the world the way it is, the business world the way that it's become, you know, there are times there's temptation to, you know, do the wrong thing. When sit down with him, and it didn't matter how bad it was, he always had a way to lift spirits up.
Our God is a God of power, of beauty, and of excellence. And for sure, if we're to go forth as his image bearers, our ditches are to be dug straight, our slabs are to be poured square and flat, and our walls are to be framed, plumb, level, and square. It's a deliberate aim at reflecting His glory. When I think of making a difference in the workplace, I think of two things. Number one, love your work. And if you don't love your work, love the way you do it. Do it with excellence. Number two, love the people you work with. And if you don't love the people you work with, then love doing the right thing, no matter what. Love doing the godly thing for people, no matter what. Oh, God has done a work here that I could have never imagined. I'm just trying to be a good steward of what He's entrusted me to do. It's just been incredible to me the way this company's grown and expanded over this city. I couldn't have ever done that on my own. That is God doing a work in me. As I said, our lives have been blessed more than I could have ever imagined.
And that video could be done of many of you in this service who likewise are trying to do your business in a way that would honor God. Notice what Jim said. How do you honor Christ in the workplace? Be an example. That's what his employees said. Jim said, do everything with excellence because it honors God. The bottom line is, remember, all of us work for an audience of one. Because you see, if you see yourself ultimately working for somebody other than God, it's easy to do two extremes. One is you'll overwork, because if you see yourself wanting the approval of somebody else, their affirmation, you will overwork and get out of balance. Or on the other hand, if you're not working for God and you're working for someone and you really don't care whether you please them or not, you will tend to underwork and do just enough to get by. Now here's how it all comes together. How are we going to give hope in the workplace? When we submit and when we suffer, we're giving respect to those in authority over us. And then when we shine, we're getting respect from others in the workplace. Now I believe people are ready to listen to what we have to say. Because if you're a godly employee doing your best, sooner or later, people will take notice. And I believe it will open up spiritual conversations for you in the workplace, the gym, the school, or the neighborhood. So the fourth word is share. What do you share when they finally ask you spiritual questions? 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared. Underline that. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. In other words, always be prepared to tell people why you believe what you believe. But notice what it says, do this with gentleness and respect. Okay, how do you share? First of all, be prepared. And I think the first thing you've got to do is find out what they believe when they start asking you spiritual questions, because you might answer real quickly what you believe and take the conversation in the wrong way. And so I would simply say to someone, if they ask me a spiritual question, before I answer that, tell me your journey. Tell me your story. And as they tell you their story, you're going to find out, do they grow up in a church or not? Do they believe in God or not? And so after they do that, then you can ask some leading questions, such as, what do you believe is your purpose in life? Do you believe in God? Do you think the Bible is true? And you can ask leading questions that will help you find out what they believe. And then you're prepared to know what you believe. And I believe there's two basic things that are crucial if we're going to share our faith. And I don't want to scare you thinking you got to memorize 100 scriptures. I don't think you have to do that. First thing is, you've got to explain the difference between religion and Christianity. Because almost everybody today is really striving more for religion than Christianity. What's the difference? Religion, you've heard me say this, religion is spelled do, and Christianity is spelled done. What do you mean religion is spelled do? Everybody's trying to work their way to heaven to get God's approval. And so there's a weird idea out there that at the end of the day, end of the month, end of my life, as long as I have more good deeds than bad deeds, I end up on the plus instead of the minus, I'm going to heaven. Wrong. Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because God's standard is not plus and minus, God's standard is perfection. And we've all sinned. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And so you, no matter what you do, you can never do enough good things to what? Earn your way to heaven. Christianity is spelled done. You don't earn it, you receive it. It's a gift. It's a free gift offered to us by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross and shed his blood for our sin. We can't make it on our own, no matter how good we are, because it says the wages of sin is death. The result of our disobedience is separation from God. But the gift of God, the gift, there it is, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so you got to understand the difference between religion and Christianity. Secondly, I think if somebody wants to be a follower of Christ, you've got to tell them what it means to be a Christ follower. It means you must accept Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. In our culture today, most people easily want to accept Jesus as their Savior. Why? Lord, save me. I don't want to go to hell. But there's more than that to becoming a Christian. We don't follow Christ just because we're afraid of going to hell. We follow Christ as our Lord, which means, here we are with this whole message, it means you're under authority. You're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. And therefore, how you want to spend your money, how you want to spend your time, how you want to use your gifts and abilities, it's not your call. They must be available to use, be used by God whenever he desires, because you have acknowledged that he is the boss of your life and you will do what he asks you to do. So be prepared. Know what they believe. Be prepared, know what you believe. But secondly, as you're sharing, be sensitive. It says what? Do it with gentleness and respect. That means don't argue, because you can win the argument and lose the battle. So if you're going to share and people open up talking to you about spiritual conversations, you got to think long term. Bible says we plant, we water, but what? God gives the increase. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts people. Our job is just to be the conduit through which we share the good news of Jesus Christ. So I would say, after when you're finding out what they believe and you find out their story, this is the point for you to what? Just simply tell your story. Don't beat them up with scripture. Just simply say, you know what? This is what my life was like. No meaning and purpose until I found Jesus Christ, and here's the difference he's made in my life, my business, my marriage, and so on. And then thirdly, be aware. Be prepared, be sensitive, be aware. I know it doesn't say that here, but Peter should have put this in there. I'm convinced. You say, what do you mean, be aware? If God's going to use you to make a difference in the workplace, if you're going to be aware, I think every day, every week, you need to be praying for opportunities. Say, Lord, today, I don't know what's going to happen at work. I don't know what's going to happen on the way to work, whatever. Just give me opportunities to be salt and light. Because I believe if you pray for opportunities, listen carefully, then you will look for opportunities. But if you don't pray for opportunities, they're going to be in front of you every day, but because you haven't prayed for them, you're not going to be sensitive. You're not going to be looking for those. Because if you pray for them, then when people come in and you interact and you watch their eyes, which are mirrors of their soul, they will tell you whether they're hurting or they're happy. You will overhear office conversation, and opportunities will come up for you to what? Give hope and healing and help. You'll be able to show concern and show the love of Jesus to other people. How do we share? Be prepared, be sensitive, be aware. So what's the takeaway today? Here's what I want you to do. Go back and look at those four words in your outline. Submit, suffer, shine, and share. And write down one word right next to the takeaway. Hang with me. Everybody, I want you to do this. Write down one word that you would say, this is the area in my life I think I need to work on this week in the workplace. Would it be submit? You might be saying, that's probably it, because I think I know more than my boss. But I've got to honor my boss no matter what. Or might be suffer. You might say, wow, that's me. I'm in a very difficult environment that makes fun of Christians. It's hostile, and I need to keep a positive attitude and suffer no matter what's going on. Or maybe you'd say, I need to shine. I need to do more than's required. I need to do a little extra. I need to do my work with excellence no matter what it is. Or maybe you'd say, you know what? I need to share. People have been asking me about where I go to church. They've been asking me about what I believe, and I've been afraid to share. And so how do you share? Listen to their story. Tell them your story, and then give them his story. CCV, there's hope in the workplace because we are on an assignment from God to be salt and light. So let's go make a difference. Let's pray. Lord God, today we thank you for leaving us an example of how we should treat others in the workplace. Remind us that we are on an assignment for you. And sometimes it's not the big things that we do, but it's the little things we do with extra effort that makes all the difference in the world. And Lord, when people then ask us, why do you work this way? Why do you have the values you do? Why do you run your business this way? When the opportunity comes, help us to tell our story with confidence and help us to tell your story with clarity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.